Well, once again, church, Merry Christmas to you all. As we have entered officially into the true Christmas season, we're in the season of Advent, which is a season that leads up to the season of Christmas. We are now in the season of Christmas and pray that the spirit and the true meaning behind this season will saturate your homes. I hope and pray that you have had a blessing of a time over this past weekend. I'm also aware that for some of us in the family, Christmas was celebrated with a little melancholy. This Christmas for some was the first Christmas without your loved one, and that situation can bring with it some heartache. Even for those of us who have lost loved ones in the past, just something about the Christmas season that we're more reflective on those that we've lost. I lost my father in December of 2013, December of 2003, nearly 18 years ago. And so there's not a December that I have that I'm not thinking about my dad. His birthday's in December. He died on December, 4 days after his birthday. And so, you know, the Christmas season, I'm always thinking about my dad. So I'm mindful of that and want you to know that we are praying for you and that we love you. During our Christmas Eve service, we had a short video that just was kind of giving tribute to some of our sisters and brothers that we lost this year. Nonetheless, our senses are overwhelmed as we reflect on the promises of God made sure in Jesus Christ, our Messiah. This is the last Sunday of 2021. What a weird phenomenon this is, in that it seems like just yesterday we were in 2019. And here we are on the heels of 2022. And at the same time, the past few years have been just really long. You know, so that's a weird phenomenon, that it just seems like it's been a long, long time, but it's also going by really fast. Our vocabulary has been inundated with words, new words over the past couple of years, like pandemic and mask and vaccinations and boosters and antibodies and distancing and supply chain and deconstruction and nuns and duns. There are several surveys that are going out asking people what their religious affiliation is. You know, is it Catholic or Baptist or Church of Christ or what have you, and they've had to add a new category called none, because more and more people are not affiliating with churches. But then there's even this year a new creation of a word called duns. And these folks are saying, I want nothing ever again to do with church. I am done. So not only do we have none in our vocabulary, we now have done. But that's what's been happening over the past couple of years. Our world has shifted in so many ways. I went to lunch the other day with a church member, and he said, man, it's so good to finally see your face. And I thought to myself for a moment, I said, you know what? Yeah, ever since this pandemic has started, whether you're watching online or in person, if you have not met with me outside of here, you probably have not seen my face. It's a pretty good-looking face, and you haven't been able to see that for 2 years, and what a tragedy. But what he demonstrated in that statement, and we began to talk and reflect on that, is that, man, our world has just been changed over the past couple years. Talking with family members on the phone and discussing possible visits typically involve talks of getting tested and making sure no one, particularly the most health compromised in our families, like we don't want them to get sick. I would love to go see my mother more often, but I'm so afraid of getting her sick. I don't want my mama to get sick. This is life with COVID, but praise God, we can still talk about life and live life and pursue life and share life and love life and thank God for life and invite others into life. Life, as they say, goes on. And this is the posture the church is taking. We are going to continue to do life in the kingdom of God. We are not waving any white flags of surrender, except a surrender to the will and way of God. We are not turning back unless it is turning back on a way that is rebellious or dismissive of God. We are not stopping unless that means we are going to stop just existing so that we can start living life to the full. Stop pretending and start being real. Stop being hypocritical and hypercritical and start being authentic and vulnerable. This morning, I just want to share with you a short reflection as we close 2021 and prepare for the upcoming year. In the next several weeks, we will be sharing with you notes and news regarding the ministry and the witness of the Reynoldsburg Church of Christ, including new teaching series, ideas for increasing opportunities to connect and grow as disciples, a readdress to our teen ministry and our partnership with disciples and the kingdom in other countries like Guyana and Honduras and the Philippines. But for this morning, I would like for us to just consider a reading from the book of Colossians. The book of Colossians chapter 3, starting at verse number 12. Colossians chapter 3, starting at verse number 12. It reads this in the New Revised Standard Version. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion and kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against one another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body, and be thankful. And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen. What a wonderful scripture to read at the close of 2021. For Paul, the author of this text, what I just read represents a repeated refrain of instructions. Consistently in his letters to young churches and young disciples, Paul encouraged a new way of living, a new way of living. He did this to encourage a new way to live life and to encourage that and to suggest a new way of living. It is to suggest that there is an old way of living. And before the text I just read, Paul described that old life. He listed an array of items that seem to represent life in the old way. You see, life in the old way would contain fornication and impurity and greed and idolatry and evil desires and malice and anger and wrath and slander and abusive language and lying. Have you heard of some of those things? Paul would say that represents the old life, the old way of living. And of these things, Paul would write this in Colossians 3:5. Put to death, therefore, whatever in you is earthly. And then he goes on with the list that I just mentioned. And he wrote, but now for you must get rid of all such things. And then he continues by writing this in verses 9 through 10 of chapter 3, starting in the middle there. He says, you have stripped off the old self with its practices and have clothed yourself with the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of its creator. So the directive or instruction or encouragement is to take off the old clothes that is stained with all the bad stuff and put on some new clothes. That's Christ. Because the new clothes contains the new and better stuff. Better material, lasts longer, doesn't decay, doesn't rot. The new and better stuff is compassion and kindness and humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another, forgiving one another, loving one another. Go home today and read Colossians 3, and I want you to make a list of the bad stuff, and then I want you to make a list of the good stuff, and then I want you to make comparisons. I want you to start taking inventory of your life and saying, what clothes do I wear? Most of my clothes, is it this bad stuff, or most of my clothes this good stuff? Is it the old life, or is it the new life? Do that for me, if you will. Go home, read Colossians 3, and make a list, the bad stuff, the good stuff, and take inventory in your life. I'm going to do the same thing. You see, these new clothes are in direct opposition to the old clothes. The old clothes are stitched together by the workings of the flesh and earthly desires, while the new clothes are clothes produced and sewn together by the Spirit of God. The old clothes are worn as an assertion to not choose God's way, while the new clothes are worn as a declaration of being God's chosen. The old clothes we wore said plain and clearly, I will do things my way because I am my own God, while the new clothes are worn as a way to say, I will do things Christ's way because he is my God, my King, and my everything. And can I get real? The old clothes, they stink, while the new clothes smell of hope and peace, joy, and love. And so, in the spirit of this admonition in Colossians, I am calling on the Reynoldsburg Church of Christ to choose a new wardrobe. I'm calling on all of us to put on some new clothes. Now, I'm not talking about the new outfit that you got for Christmas. I'm sure that some of you got some new clothes and some new items, and I'm sure it's pretty and trendy, and when you wear it, people will turn head and say, ooh, look at her, look at him. I'm not talking about a new pair of Jordans or Yeezys. I'm not talking about a brand new pair of Velcro fastening shoes. No. The clothing I am calling for us to wear are clothes that smell of the hope of Christ, that smell of the joy of Christ, that smell of the peace of Christ, and that smell of the love of Christ. Clothes that move us to forgive rather than hold grudges. Clothes that prompt us to build one another up rather than push one another down and destroy. Clothes that push us to do great things rather than settle for complacency. Clothes that compel us to unite despite our differences rather than character assassinate those with whom we disagree. Clothes that incite us to get on our knees and pray and give thanks rather than stand on our soapboxes and complain. Clothes that make it undeniably evident that we are worshipers of the Lord and members of the body of Christ, not just folks giving lip service to a powerless deity and members of a country club. Church, as we prepare for 2022, let every heart prepare him a room. How? Verse 16 of chapter 3. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom and with gratitude in your heart. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. I pray that in 2022, we will allow the word of God to dwell in us richly through spiritual engagement with God, through prayer and conversation, through a commitment to daily engagement in the written word, and through a pledge to live in covenant relationship with sisters and brothers in Christ. Church, let's put on some new clothes. I wonder what you all receive from your loved ones for Christmas. I received a few things, some cool things, some Bill's wear and some cookware and some things that really, you know, talk to my interests and my likes. But nothing was more spiritually impacting than what I received from Beckham Coon. Many of you know Beckham Coon if you've been members here for over 3 years. Beckham Coon is the oldest son of some former members here, our youth minister and his wife, Secretary Justin Joy. And there I am with little Beckham at Lynn's Fruit Farm. We kind of have a tradition of going together, our families, to go pick apples at Lynn's Fruit Farm. And there's a picture of Beckham from this year. And this picture represents a picture of Beckham post kidney transplant. So if you don't know Beckham, 5 years ago, he was born with no kidney function. He had a stroke while he was in the uterus. And he came out and it was touch and go for a while. Didn't know that Beckham was going to survive. But when they did learn that he was going to survive, they shared the doctors that he was going to have a life with some struggles because he didn't have kidney function. He didn't develop like other babies in the womb. I feel this special and deep connection to Beckham. I was there the night he was born, briefly after he was born, and they were rushed him to Children's Hospital. I met the parents there and just cried and tried to be there for them as they cared for him. Their lives would be rocked because of the care that they would have to give Beckham on a daily basis. Beckham would have to be hooked up to a dialysis machine done by the parents. And so a few months ago when he received his new kidney, those parents, they had a new life. And Beckham, even when he was on dialysis, and Beckham now is just such a bright kid, a smart kid, and he is absolutely hilarious. And so for the past several years, our families, my wife and kids and the Coons, we get together on Christmas Day. That's just kind of been our tradition. We get together and have dinner with each other, and we exchange gifts. And so Joy, his mother, was telling me that, so I asked Beckham, what did Beckham want to get Mr. Dion for Christmas? And he was adamant because earlier this year, he got a new Bible. Beckham loves reading his Bible. He loves the Bible being read to him. He loves engaging with the Bible. And when you go to the house, you know, he's got scripture stories all taped up around the house because he loves reciting these Bible stories and telling the stories. When he wakes up in the morning after they give him his medicines and take him off his dialysis machine, they tell him a Bible story. And every day when he wakes up, he anticipates another Bible story. Isn't that a wonderful spirit to have? A wonderful anticipation to have? An anticipation to get into the Word of God at 5 years old. So they got him a new Bible. And they asked Beckham, what do you want to give Mr. Dion for Christmas? Well, he wanted to give me his old Bibles. You can show that picture. So in a gift wrapped up were his two Bibles. Now, I don't know if you can tell if a Bible's been used or not. You ever open a Bible and the seam is broken off because it's been used so much? Yeah, that's Beckham's Bible. You know, some of our Bibles, when you blow on them, like a whole bunch of dust come off and cobwebs, not these. Beckham wanted me to have the two things that is most precious to him. I received some really good gifts this year, but nothing more spiritually impactful than a gift from a young man who says, I like engaging with God in the Word. So church, as we navigate towards 2022, I'd like for us to think about what this five-year-old kid did for me. He shared with me his life. He shared with me something that was deep within him. You know, he opened up, there's a New Testament one and there's an Old Testament one, and he opened up the New Testament one to his favorite story in the Bible, and it's the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The story about three young boys who, despite the pressure to bow down to a false god, they said they won't do it. They stood, and they were delivered. And I believe it's as if to say that no matter what happens to me, Mr. Dion, I'm delivered, and I'm standing strong in the strength of the Lord. In 2022, I want us to put on some new clothes. And I want us to have that same spirit of sharing what's in us with others. Next year, I want you to consider doing something. I want you to consider really engaging in the Word of God like you've never done before. We do this and announce this almost every year. You know, start your year off by reading the Bible, getting into the Bible for personal time, getting into the Bible with others through small groups, Bible studies, or other avenues. So I want us all to do that. But also next year, I want you to consider if you have several Bibles. I have several Bibles. I want you to consider gifting one of your Bibles to someone, the way Beckham gifted that Bible to me, as a way of saying, I want to share with you this exercise and this practice of dwelling, allowing the words of Christ to dwell richly in my life. I want you to put on these new clothes that Paul describes here in Colossians. And I want 2022 to be the best year yet, even with masks on, even with distancing. Look, church, I don't know what the next several months are going to hold. You know, we're in this new variant, and some say this variant isn't as bad as the last variant. It might go away, but viruses, like by nature, they mutate. And so there could be another variant coming. I don't know. But whatever variant we're dealing with, we ought to live lives where that variant can't compete with a collection of people who are wearing these new clothes. Clothes of humility and kindness and peace and forgiveness and compassion and mercy and love and resolve. A commitment to be disciples of Jesus Christ. A commitment to make disciples of Jesus Christ, a commitment to share what's important in our lives with others. I told Beckham that I would preach from one of these Bibles today. And so I'm going to read one of the scriptures from the Bible. And it's the scripture where Jesus is talking to his disciples prior to him leaving. And it says, Matthew 28 and Mark 16. Before Jesus went back to heaven, he gave his disciples a job to do. He said, go out into all the world and preach the gospel. Make disciples of all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And this is called the Great Commission. Then there's a big picture question. It says, what does Jesus want his disciples to do? And the big picture answer is, Jesus wants his disciples to go out and to preach the gospel to all people. Church, I want this new wardrobe that we wear to be the sermon that we preach. The new clothes that we wear to be the very gospel of Jesus Christ. That we commit to share that with everybody we come into contact with. Let's stop being one person when we come here and gather at church and another person when we go to work or another person when we get in traffic or another person when we're watching cable news and the person that we didn't vote for is on the screen talking. Well, the person, be the same person that we're here in church when we worship and the same person when we're dealing with someone who we've had conflict with for many years and we still haven't forgiven one another. We want to be the same person, and we do that by allowing the word of Christ to dwell in us richly. So put on these new clothes. This is not a sermon of judgment. This is not a sermon of condemnation. It's a sermon of invitation. I invite you to come to Jesus just as you are. Come to Jesus just as you are. Allow God to clothe you those very items that Paul talked about in the text. Humility, kindness, compassion, love. To reject the old clothes, to take off the old clothes, the anger and the malice and the grudges, the memories of lost opportunities, and put on this newness of life that posits us in a position to be great through our service, through our love. We're going to sing a song in just a moment. It's a song that's familiar. It's a song that speaks an incredible truth, that God has never asked people to change before they come to him. Mm-mm. God calls people just as they are. Come just as you are. Come broken. Come filthy. Come as the scoundrel you are. Come confused. Come just as you are. And then witness and behold the work of God in your life. So as we sing this song, I pray that everyone in the room right now, on stage, in the audience, in the hallway, watching online, you take inventory of where you are and you come to God just like that and let God do his work in your life. Allow him to dress you with these new clothes. Allow him to just take off those old clothes, clean you up, and put on these new clothes. And you, in response, you say a prayer of thankfulness, a prayer of gratitude. You say, God, I'm going to let the word of Christ dwell in me richly. And it's going to be a life-changing adventure. If during the singing of this song, you want to make known to us something that you want us to be in prayer about, something that you want us to be in community with you about, or covenant with you about, something that you've been struggling with and you want some backup, you want your sisters and brothers on your side to help fight these burdens, carry these burdens, or fight these battles that you have, you just let us know. Let's stop being silent when it comes to things that we need help with. Let's stop being silent when it comes to issues that we are struggling with, or if there's something that is over us, that has a hold over us. Let the church of God know so that we can pray about that and walk alongside you as you watch God fight that battle for you. As we sing this song, may it be a reminder that God has called us to come just as we are. And knowing that once we are in his arms, in his hands, just as we are, we will not leave his hands the same. We'll be changed. We'll be that new person. So if you are able, go ahead and stand. And let's sing this song, the final invitation song of 2021. And if you need us to be in prayer, you let us know. If you want to give your life to Jesus today, you let us know. Let's sing together.